Chapter 10, Reconstructing the Nation and the State. Chapter Preview, People. Martin W. Gary, Andrew Johnson, Daniel Sickles, Robert K. Scott, Francis L. Cardozo, Jonathan J. Wright, Robert Brown Elliott, Joseph Hayne Rainey, Alonzo Jacob Ranzier, Franklin J. Moses, Jr., Daniel H. Chamberlain, Benjamin Ryan Tillman, Rutherford B. Hayes. Places: Fort Sumter, St. Helena Island, James Island, Morris Island. Terms: Reconstruction, Freedmen's Bureau, Black Codes, Radical Republicans, Impeach, Carpetbaggers, Scalawags, Propaganda, Discrimination, Amnesty, Depression, Sharecrop System, Tenant Farmer, Crop Lien System, Ku Klux Klan, KKK, Red Shirt Campaign. It would be hard to find two men more different in their looks, personalities, and political aims than Robert Smalls and Martin W. Gary. Both were important in South Carolina politics in the decades after the Civil War. Robert Smalls was already famous. As a runaway slave, he stole the cotton steamer, the Planter, from the Confederates and became its commander during the war. Smalls returned to Beaufort after the war, a hero to blacks. He bought the house of his former owner and took care of the owner's elderly widow within the house for the rest of her life. He helped found the Republican Party in the state. After helping write the 1868 state constitution, Smalls was elected to the state House of Representatives, then the Senate, while rising to brigadier general in the state militia. He was a strong supporter of free public education for all children. Elected to Congress in 1874, he was in and out of that position until 1886. Smalls rose from slavery to political prominence in the new circumstances after the war. But after white Democrats regained control of the state government in 1877, his political power, along with blacks' civil rights, began slipping away. By contrast, Martin W. Gary was a white lawyer, a graduate of Harvard, and a brigadier general in the Confederate cavalry. Gary settled in Edgefield and began a career of angry opposition to the Republican Reconstruction in South Carolina. A slender man, balding with piercing eyes, Gary was called the Bald Eagle of Edgefield. In 1876, he created the Edgefield Plan as part of the Democratic campaign to throw out the state's Republican government. His plan called for Democrats to reduce the votes of blacks by fraud, intimidation, and violence to accomplish the return of white supremacy and rule by the Democratic Party. Gary's tactics proved successful. White Democrats regained control of the state and began the process of removing men like Robert Smalls from politics. Section 1. Political Reconstruction on the National Level. As you read, look for differences in the Reconstruction plans of Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Johnson, and the Radical Republicans. The purposes and accomplishments of the Freedmen's Bureau. Restrictions placed on freedmen by the Black Codes and Northern reaction to the Codes. How the national government imposed its will on the South under Radical Reconstruction. Terms: Reconstruction, Freedmen's Bureau, Black Codes, Radical Republicans, Impeach, Carpetbaggers, Scalawags. When the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified in 1865, nearly 4 million slaves in the southern and border states were officially freed. 3 years later, South Carolina held a convention to write a new state constitution, and 71 of the 124 delegates were black men. How can a change that great take place in 3 years? This pivotal point in our history is an exciting story of new leaders emerging from an unexpected source. it is a story of the federal government sponsoring and helping the new leaders. And it is a story of the previous leadership class working toward an opportunity to regain its old power. The era after the Civil War was difficult for the country, both North and South. It was hard for Northerners to accept the South back into the Union and to trust that Southerners had given up their rebellion. It was equally hard for white Southerners to accept defeat and submit to the federal government they had fought against for 4 years. It's easy to imagine the suspicion and even hatred that existed between white and black Southerners. Despite the difficulties and the anxiety, rebuilding had to take place. The period of rebuilding is called Reconstruction, which meant not only rebuilding farms and plantations, towns and railroads, but also rebuilding the nation. The states that had seceded had to be brought back into their proper place within the Union. Presidential Reconstruction. The first efforts to restore the southern states back into the Union were made by Presidents Abraham Lincoln and Andrew Johnson. Even before the war ended, Lincoln offered the seceded states a generous plan, hoping to entice some of them to give up the rebellion. If at least 10% of voters would swear allegiance to the United States, he would readmit the state. Many of Lincoln's fellow Republicans thought that offer was too lenient. His main requirement was that the South must accept the freedom of slaves. The Freedmen's Bureau. Lincoln and Congress set up the Freedmen's Bureau to assist poor blacks, and many poor whites as well. This was the first agency of the United States government to provide direct welfare assistance to citizens. After the war, the Bureau provided food and medical services to freedmen and poor whites. It gave transportation money to help reunite families separated by slave sales. It set up hundreds of schools across the South to meet the freedmen's hunger for education. The Bureau tried to find work for the freedmen and to make sure labor contracts were fair to both employees and employers. Andrew Johnson's Reconstruction Plan. President Lincoln was assassinated only a few days after Lee's surrender at Appomattox in April 1865, so he had no opportunity to put most of his Reconstruction Plan into action. His successor, Andrew Johnson, was from Tennessee, one of the seceded states, but he had stayed loyal to the United States. Andrew Johnson's plan at first seemed tougher than Lincoln's plan on the southern plantation owners, whom he considered responsible for the war. But he appointed temporary governors from the South's traditional ruling class, pardoned most former Confederate officials, and demanded few changes in southern behavior. The southern state legislatures, elected in 1865 under Johnson's plan, looked very much like pre-war legislatures. The Black Codes. In the fall of 1865, those southern legislatures began passing laws that placed harsh restrictions on freedmen. These Black Codes differed from state to state. Generally, they first gave freedmen certain rights, including recognition of slave marriages and the right to own property, make contracts, get an education, and sue or be sued in court. Then the laws took away many rights. In most states, job opportunities were limited to work on a farm or as a house servant. Freedmen could not travel without permission of their employer or possess firearms unless they owned property. Vagrants, persons who appeared to have no work or permanent home, could be jailed or have their labor auctioned off to planters. In South Carolina, any white person could arrest a black person suspected of a crime, and blacks were tried in a separate court system. The purpose of the Black Codes was to restrict relations between the races. Whites resisted a system in which blacks enjoyed the same rights and status under the law that whites did. An age of anxiety. Also easy to understand was whites' anxiety about this new society in which the majority of the population were former slaves, many of whom had been mistreated in the past. Whites feared that blacks would seek vengeance if they were not strictly supervised and controlled. Many whites also assumed that freedmen would not work unless compelled. Both these fears proved largely incorrect. Fully as easy to understand is blacks' anxiety and fear that whites planned to reimpose slavery by another name. Few freedmen became property owners, so most had to depend on white property owners for jobs and housing. Owners often used violence to control workers. Some landowners beat their black workers as if they were still slaves. Freedmen had good reason to be anxious about the future. Northern reaction to the black codes. It is also easy to understand why the national government reacted so negatively to the black codes. Northerners had fought the Confederacy for 4 years and were reluctant to allow the South to reestablish anything similar to slavery. The federal response to the black codes was swift and decisive. The U.S. Army occupying the South disallowed the laws, declaring invalid any laws that did not apply equally to all citizens. To Northerners in Congress, the black codes indicated that the South was trying to resurrect slavery. Those Northerners who pushed most for civil rights for freedmen and changes in Southern behavior were called Radical Republicans. They were determined not to allow the former Confederate states back into full partnership in the nation until they demonstrated their willingness to reform. The South remained without representation in Congress until 1868. Congress passed the Civil Rights Act of 1866, which invalidated any state laws, such as the Black Codes, that discriminated on the basis of race. President Johnson vetoed the act. The Congress overrode his veto. A mighty struggle arose between President Johnson and Congress over control of the Reconstruction process. The President versus the Congress. The administration of President Johnson from 1865 to 1869 was strained and disorderly, partly because of the confusion at the end of the war and partly because he was always at odds with the Republican Congress. The radicals even tried to remove him from office. The House of Representatives impeached him, but his trial in the Senate resulted in his retaining the presidency by a one-vote margin. To impeach is to bring charges against a public official who is still in office. A federal official is impeached by the House of Representatives and tried by the Senate. In June 1866, Congress passed the 14th Amendment. Ratified in 1868, it remains an important amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It defines citizenship to include black Americans. Remember that in the Dred Scott decision in 1857, the Supreme Court had ruled that blacks could not be citizens. It also guarantees equal protection of all citizens under the law. With this amendment, the national government accepted responsibility for protecting citizens from their own state government if necessary. Northern voters gave the Radical Republicans an even larger majority in Congress in the election of 1866. In 1867, the Radicals took over the process of Reconstruction from the President and imposed new requirements on the seceded states. First, they placed the Southern state governments under temporary military rule. South Carolina and North Carolina were placed under General Daniel Sickles. Next, Congress required the Southern states to hold conventions to write new constitutions. Black men could vote and become delegates to the conventions. Former Confederate officials could not vote unless pardoned by the Congress. Once a suitable constitution had been approved, the 14th Amendment ratified, and elections held with universal male suffrage, the state would be readmitted to the Union. Congressional Reconstruction or Radical Reconstruction. With Congress now in control of Reconstruction, all former Confederate states complied and established new governments by 1868. These new state governments were dominated by blacks, carpetbaggers, and scalawags. Carpetbaggers was the name given by Southern whites to Northerners, white or black, who came south after the war. Some came as missionaries and teachers to help the freedmen. Some came as businessmen or for possible political advancement. Most expected to help in the rebuilding of the South. Scalawags was the name given to Southern whites who cooperated with blacks and Republicans. Traditional Southerners considered them traitors to the white race and to the South. They said scalawags were driven by corrupt motives, but most seemed to have felt the best interest of the South would be served by working with the Republicans to rebuild the economy. All the former Confederate states were under Republican governments after 1868, but for varying lengths of time. In some states with smaller black populations, the more traditional Democrats, or conservatives as they preferred to be called, regained control, some after 2 years, some after 4 years. States with the largest black populations, including South Carolina, were governed by Republicans until 1877. U.S. Army troops helped maintain the Republicans in power in face of fierce opposition by the white Democratic minority. The Republican Party also dominated the national government during Reconstruction. It was the party triumphant in war, the party of Lincoln and of emancipation. The Democratic Party was associated in the public mind with Southerners and the trauma of Civil War. Republicans repeatedly reminded Americans that not all Democrats were rebels, but all rebels were Democrats. General Ulysses S. Grant, a Republican, served as president from 1869 to 1877. His years in office were, like Johnson's, very troubled ones. Grant himself was honest, but historians judge his administration as one of the most corrupt in American history. Several of his cabinet members and his own personal secretary were removed from office for corruption. These problems hindered Grant's ability to deal with Reconstruction in the South. The nation was divided on how Reconstruction of Southern states should proceed, how much change should be imposed on them, how strongly should the national government push for equal rights for freedmen, how much help should be given the freedmen in their struggles. Did the Northerners have the will to resist the opposition of Southern whites to Republican rule and black participation in politics? Do you remember? Define in sentence form, radical Republicans, carpetbaggers, scalawags. 2. What were some of the restrictions imposed on freedmen by the black codes? 3. What are the main purposes of the 14th Amendment?